Welcome to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team, here to lead conversations with educational leaders and experts. My hope is to share with you not only valuable insights and knowledge from leaders in education, but have fun while doing it and shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. Any educator will tell you that the first couple of years in a new role is like drinking out of a fire hose. There is so much to learn and adapt to, even more so when you're a new principal. Today, I am sharing a conversation I had with Justin Peterson, an elementary school principal in Broken Bow, Nebraska. He stepped into a new role this year and is not only learning what it means to be a principal, but is also learning all about how MTSS can help a school meet the needs of students. He was ready to chat about what it means to be a learner somewhere new and how much he loves his job. We had a few technical difficulties at the end of our conversation, but I didn't want you to miss him talking about what he does to start his students' day off on the right track. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Well, today on our podcast, we are pleased to welcome Justin Peterson, who is a principal in Broken Bow Public Schools in Nebraska. And we're just excited to chat with him about all that he's doing with MTSS in his school and learn more about just what it looks like to serve in the Broken Bow community. So, Justin, why don't you just begin by telling us a little bit about yourself and your role?
So, yeah, this is my... In my ninth year, finishing up my ninth year in education, I was kind of late to the education realm. I didn't start till I was dang near 30. I was like 29 or 30 years old. So going, finish up my ninth year, first year as a principal, elementary principal, which has been really exciting. I would have never thought elementary for myself, but a couple doors opened that I just had to walk through. So it's been kind of fun. This is my second year in the district of Broken Bow. Last year I was the district sped director, and then this year moved into elementary principal / sped director. And then I'm going to release the sped director title next year. We found somebody to take that over. So that is a little bit of weight off my shoulders, which is nice. Started my educational journey, Eastern Nebraska, Omaha area, was a second and third grade special ed teacher for 4 years. And then, was the UTAN Public Schools is where I worked, was their athletics or activities director for 3, and then made the trek out to Central Nebraska. So now I'm looking at my 10th year here coming up, and it's been kind of a whirlwind. So it's been fun.
That's awesome. You said that you kind of came to education a little bit later. What was your sort of deciding factor that you decided to go into education? I always find that interesting when people have other careers and then change to education.
Yeah. I was your prototypical, just didn't know what I wanted to do when I came out of college or went into college. I just was kind of a leaf in the wind a bit. Went into, did some banking stuff. I mean, I worked I did a lot of stuff. So my kind of getting back to it, I played basketball at the University of Nebraska at Omaha for 5 years. When we were there, we would go to Children's Hospital a lot and help out with kids that were underprivileged, just kids that needed extra help. It always sat really well with me. I just always really enjoyed it. My dad was in education. He was a auto mechanics teacher for 15 years and then a woods teacher for 16. So I had education kind of in my blood, and it was my dad that kind of pushed me. Again, never would have thought sped, not in my entire life. Like I just never really knew, what that even meant, really. You know, when I went through high school, it just wasn't, you know, you just didn't see that as much. So, it's just been a blessing. I've just been so blessed to be in districts that I just have learned so much. So my dad was a huge, huge part of that. And he just, you know, he worked for one district for 31 years. And I mean, to me, that's just crazy. Like I'm already in my second district in year nine. And, you know, so he's been such a key and just a key cog in my life. My mom and dad are just, they've always been there for me. So they've always given me good advice.
That's awesome. I love that. I always appreciate when people sort of take a kind of roundabout way to land in education, because I think that sometimes that experience that you have, that life experience, actually benefits you as an educator, because you understand the different careers or the different avenues that students can head towards. And so, but I always think there is a little bit of something for me. I always look back at the moment when I decided to go into education, I was like, well, I have really always enjoyed kids. So, yeah. You know, it's like, oh, I'm not bad at that. So
yeah, that's I completely get you too. I even look at it and I go, man, if I'd have gotten out of college at 22, 23, I'd have been a disaster in the classroom. I just wouldn't have been able to do it. So I very much took the roundabout way to it, but I completely agree. I do think it helped me a ton just with just being more mature and just knowing kind of what I wanted in life. So.
Yeah. So kind of describe the community that you serve there in Broken Bow, like the school and the community itself.
Yep. So we shove three classes of 3-year-olds through in the morning and three classes of 4-year-olds in the afternoon. So.
Yeah. You wrangle them through.
Yes. Herding cats is what I like to say. It's like.
From what I know about 3-year-olds, they're always delightful.
Yes.
Yeah. So with your different kind of experiences, even just kind of landing in the special education world, maybe describe for us a little bit about your journey with using and understanding MTSS. Cause I always think of MTSS kind of as a continuum, like we're all along the continuum at different points. So where would you think that feel like that you land?
I'm probably at step one or two. This is the first district that I came to that really last year, our teaching and learning coordinator really, laid the groundwork for it, you know, implementing MTSS and making sure that we were, you know, getting to all students and making sure that we're getting good interventions to, you know, prior to that, at UTAN, we didn't have that as much. So coming here, I feel like I've kind of learned through the fire hose a little bit of, you know, how this works and what it looks like for a kid to move through the tiers and what do they do when they get to the tier one and we need to move them to, like, it's been such a good learning opportunity for me because ignorance was bliss it wasn't kind of in, you know, when you're an activities director, you're not really, you know, for 3 years, you're kind of out of the room. And when I was a teacher, we just didn't have that when at UTAN where I was. So when I came here and started as a SPED director, the teaching and learning coordinator I was plugged into him all day, every day. Like, all right, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? Am I doing this right? And he was such an integral part of me learning and even kind of starting to take the steps. Like, you know, I know I have a ton more to learn, but I do know, I feel like I've been put on the right path and I've been given the right steps here the first couple of years. So.
Yeah. So can you give us a little bit of insight into I know you're fairly like kind of at the beginning stages of MTSS, but like, how have you already maybe seen some indicators that this is that you want to continue using it and continue along the continuum?
Sure. I always look at it as looking at our kids as success. The kids that may be struggling, you know, when we can get really great interventions from our interventionists and see them move backwards in to me, that's the most fun part is when you see a kid that might be a tier two, a tier three kid, we really start hammering them and really start working with them. And you see them just progressively get better and better and better. And you know that they're still maybe not on grade level, but you're just seeing such good growth. That's to me, that's been the most fun part is just watching kids. Now, you know, if you go the opposite way, you're seeing a kid struggle. I think I like that you have kind of checkpoints where you're like, all right, we've done this. What do we need to do next? What's it? We have to change our intervention. It's not working. You know, you go through those 6-7 weeks and you're like, all right, we're kind of scrambling. What do we need to do? And to have two dedicated interventionists in my building is awesome. Like I've learned, again, I've learned so much from them. And just the, like, they are labeled as a reading interventionist. So they're, the science of reading is huge to them. They, you know, they're constantly, hey, Mr. Peterson, read this article. Hey, so it's, at some point I'm like, all right, ladies, I get it. But like, so it's just been such a good, it's just been such a good learning opportunity for me. Like I'm 38 years old and I feel like I'm in kindergarten or first grade. I'm just continually learning and learning and learning. So it's been a lot of fun, but to see the kids' success is inevitably what you want to see.
Do you have any specific stories in mind? Like you don't have to give like, you know, extreme details, but just anything that pops up as like a great example of that.
We have, it's one of my favorite kids in the elementary.
Wait, you have favorites?
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah. One of your favorites, because they're all your favorite. Yeah.
He just, I feel like I was him. So I feel like I got a good connection with him. And he's a second grader and just really struggles with reading, just really, really struggles. And one of our interventionists, I cannot off the top of my, but she was working on him just on with a specific function. And to see his face after he got done working with her, he's like, Mr. Peterson, I did it. Like I can read. And so like to see him and he is, he's just, he breaks my heart because like, he is one that you know that he's trying hard, you know, he's giving good effort and sometimes it's just not there, but man, when the light bulb went off and he came out of that little breakout room and I had just happened to be walking down the hallway, you know, going in and out of classrooms. And I mean, he gave me a huge high five. And our interventionist was dang near in tears because she's like, Justin, he did awesome. Like,
oh my gosh, so like, you got me in tears. I'm like, that's amazing. Like when a student that struggles and the light bulb goes off and like, and they feel the success that is.
Gets goosebumps even thinking about it. So it was, it was such a cool moment. And it's another just reassurance that we're doing the right thing to me. Yeah. No, if it was something where we're just not seeing that and we're, you know, then we'd obviously have to find something different, but man, it just, we've had so many moments like that. So to me, it's a no brainer. We just got to continue what we're doing.
Keep getting better. What would you, so, I mean, I know that this is your, you know, just your first year in this role, but like, what would you say to those that are like thinking about like adopting MTSS and implementing that, or even just someone who's going into their like first year in a new role, like you were, like, what would you say to them as far as like, as in regards to utilizing MTSS or implementing it?
Sure. I mean, obviously I'm a humongous advocate for implementing MTSS. I think it's just helped our school so much. I think if you're going into your first year, I think it, you know, looking back, if I could give myself advice back in August that I know now, I just stay open to learning. I've been fortunate enough to have really good people around me. So that helps, but to plug into people that, you know, have that knowledge and they, you can't be afraid of it. You know, it's different and change is hard, but, I think you just have to stay open and be honest with yourself about, you know, this might be tough and it might be hard to implement out of the gates, but man, if it's good for kids, we got to do it. I mean, even if it's maybe not very fun for us and it's tough for us, we have to be able to do it. We have to be able to do what's good best for kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally understand that. I think that that's always the key of like, you know, it may not be easy to implement. It may be, you know, complicated, but, and take a lot of work on the adult part, but we know when it moves the needle for kids, like it matters. It carries a lot of weight. So what would you, or what's a goal that you have for yourself? Like you're ending your first year and sort of like going into the second one, what's a goal that you're kind of, you're thinking about, or even just like reflecting on like, it's going to be different next year because of this, like I have this goal.
Sure. Man, that's a great question. I look at next year as I just hope we can continue to push kids and see. We had really great, we take the MAPS test 3 times a year. We had such great numbers this spring for MAPS testing. We had grades that were achieving so well beyond what they normally do. So to me, it's just making sure everybody sees those and it's visible to where what we're doing works. Like, don't stray away from what we're doing. Like, I know every teacher has their style. I know every teacher has a little flavor, which I love, but we gotta, man, the core is the core, and we want to make sure that we stay true to what we're doing. So to me, I think my goal next year is just continue to preach to my teachers, hey, what we're doing is working. I trust my teachers. I told them from day one, I said, I may not know what I'm doing all the time, but I'm going to trust that you do, because all of you are professionals. I don't need to micromanage you. You guys all know what to do. And it just seemed to work really well. So.
Yeah. That's I wouldn't affirm you in that style of leadership. I love that. That's because, you know, I think that means a lot for teachers to hear that from an administrator, is say, hey, I trust that you're professionals and you're experts in what you do. And, you know, for those people who've been doing it a long time, I was a middle school teacher, and I always applauded elementary teachers because they just had so much more energy. Have to have so much more energy than I did. I mean, except for if you teach seventh graders. Seventh graders are just big kids sometimes.
Hey, middle school, man, that's beyond me. I don't know about that one.
I feel like a lot of people say that.
Unfortunately, it was at this point in our conversation that we got interrupted with some audio difficulties. But Justin ended our time sharing about how he stands out in front of his school with music playing each day to greet students on the way in with a high five or knuckles. He knows that some kiddos may not be excited to come to school, so he wants to make their day start off on a positive note. Justin loves his job, and he rarely has a hard day because working with these kiddos makes it fun for him. Thanks for listening to School and Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to hear all our future episodes. As well, if you're enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcast on iTunes? This helps others find our podcast and let us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn @branchingminds.